Amen. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to have an offering, so we'll ask the men to come, and we'll have a word of prayer. You glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Good. We've had some good contacts at the fair so far. Yesterday, the rains came, and so that drove everybody into the building, and that made us very, very busy for a little while, and got to talk to a lot of people. It was good to see them. We got to talk to Noreen Smith's son, if you remember Noreen. He came by our booth and talked for quite a while, so it was good to see him and be in prayer for that family. Maybe we'll be able to reach them. He was interested in our master clubs for his kids, and so we're thankful for that. Brother Ronson, would you lead us in prayer tonight, please?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated. Next song will be 377. 377. And if you'll stand and join with me as we sing How Can I Fear? 377.
When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? I'm alone and I face the unknown and I fear what the future may be. I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. Trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?
You may be seated. All right, a few announcements for tonight. Don't forget that our fair booth is in ministry right now, so be in prayer for those. There are some over there even tonight passing out gospel tracts and playing games with the kids, and they're having a good time, so remember that. Don't forget, this Friday, there is no academy. That's the day for the fair for the kids. And then, of course, Monday is Thanksgiving, and so kids, you get a four-day weekend, all right? So enjoy that and be safe. This Sunday, we're having our Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're going to put the emphasis on Sunday night. Sunday night will be our Thanksgiving service. We'll have the Lord's table here to give thanks. What's the most important thing to be thankful for? the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll do that on Sunday night. We'll have communion, Lord's table, and we'll gather around there and take some testimonies and have a good time thanking and praising the Lord on this Thanksgiving Sunday. October 17th, we have the Teen Corn Maze. That's a week from Friday. We're looking forward to that. And I want to mention next Wednesday night, I jumped over something, October the 15th, next Wednesday night, we have a missionary coming by. He wants to talk to us about Baptist Bible College Canada for the French-speaking people, Brother Tim Lalonde. Brother Tim Lalonde last preached here in April of 1990, he says. And Dr. Strachan was still here, and he was on his way to Quebec, and he's been there for 24 years now. And so we thank the Lord for faithfulness. And Brother Lalonde has been in music his entire life. He's a pastor, a preacher. I love to see him lead singing. He led at a pastor's conference I went to. And so we may have him lead singing next Wednesday night just because he just has so much life and just loves singing. And so you come next Wednesday night, hear him present his ministry. He's going to preach, and he's going to. I'll get him to lead singing too. But if you'd also like to hear him another time, next Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, he's going to preach to the chapel of the academy right here in the auditorium. So you might want to come and hear him preach to our young people as well. All right. What else? Oh, don't forget, on the 19th, Pastor Stone's coming for one of our Bethel nights. Let's be an encouragement to him. Put a note in the box or a gift if you would like to do something for him. That would be fine. And on that same night, we're going to give our gift to the Canadian Gospel Project this year. And we've raised, I would guess, over $10,000 since Sunday. I don't know what the offering was on Sunday. We haven't seen that yet. And but when we get a report, I'm sure it'll be over 10,000, and we've got a goal of 28. Now, of course, we do have missions money. We're hoping to chip in on that. But the more we raise, the more we can use somewhere else for missions. Let me also mention we have a fundraiser going on that's just starting out. It's called FundScript. And now you have to have internet access to be able to take advantage of it. But what we will do is that once we get it going full tilt, about once a month, we'll have a computer out in the lobby. And if anybody says, I can't buy these, I can't get online, you can meet with somebody in the lobby after church on a Sunday night if you would like, and you can sign up for that. And what it is any of the places that you would shop, whether it be the superstore for your groceries, food basics, No Frills, gas stations, if you purchase the gift cards ahead of time through us, for example, I know at the gas stations, we get 4% back to the school. So for a $50 gift card, we get $2 back on that. And that helps the school. And so we're thinking the biggest push would be Christmas time. You give out a Sport Check gift card to your grandson, or you give hints to my mom, I guess. I don't know. And a Walmart gift card or something to somebody. Then the school will get all kinds of that funds back. All right. And the only thing it costs you is that for when you purchase your cards, it costs 87 cents for the postage. That's it. Okay, so there is a bit of an investment, but the school gets back 4%, sometimes as high as 8%, depending on the store you're at, and that is a big help to the school. All right, so those are the announcements for tonight. Pastor McDonald's going to come with our missionary moment.
Just before I do the missionary of the week, I just wanted to say greetings on behalf of Pastor Roberts. He wanted me to pass that on to you from Maranatha Baptist Church in Sault Ste. Marie. We're up there for about a week this past week, and we were doing a biblical creation conference, which went extremely well. It was well attended and responded to, so that was good. And he wanted to just say hi to everybody here, because I know his mind's always back at his home and sending church. Tonight's missionary letter is the Perez family in Uruguay, and they write, "Dear pastors and supporters, spring has arrived in Uruguay with its full force. They're on the same latitude as Sydney, Australia, which means that their seasons are reversed. So they're heading right into the summer. We're heading out of it." It says, "We feel renewed also in our desires to serve our Lord with all our hearts." And then he writes some motives for rejoicing. Number one, Jonathan and Mickey Riefeld have arrived in Uruguay to stay. Praise the Lord. They will be in the capital city of the country for a few months getting their language training. After that, they will move to Colonia and work with us in our Bible Institute and church planting program. Second reason for rejoicing and be renewed is they said that they had a great and encouraging visit from their field administrator, Jesse Garza, if I'm saying that right, and his wife, Laura. He writes that they were instructive, encouraging, and fun to have around for a week. So that was a shot in the arm for them. They praise the Lord for that. And also, thirdly, they had a visit from two different groups who are mission teams from the United States. And they were a great blessing to them as well, great encouragement. And it says some salvation decisions were made during their visits, And a big patio was completed in front of the church. So there were a lot of things accomplished there at that time. And then they leave us with some prayer needs. Number one, he says, we see the need to stand stronger in our convictions and teachings as we see some churches around us lowering their convictions and their separation standards, which has a confusing effect on some people, especially on our new Christians. There is no doubt in our minds that we are living in the last days, and we must remain firm to our Lord, to Bible doctrine. So that makes us feel more comfortable that we're supporting such a missionary that feels that concern. Number two, for prayer. Pray, it says, we are planning a big children's outreach in 2 weeks. We will aim, with God's help, to reach out to the parents. Number three, pray for our family, for strength, for health, and provisions, as they need those on an ongoing basis. Number four, we continue to pray that God will help us build an education building, a very needed place for our church and Bible Institute. It is a vital need for us to continue in growth. Number five, pray for the fact that he says we have two dear faithful Christian ladies in our church who are struggling with cancer. They both have to go to the Capitol for treatment each week, and their first names are Sylvia and Gloria. So we'll be praying for them in just a minute. And then finally, he says, pray for our Bible Institute students as they get ready to end their school year in November. And then again, they sign off, we appreciate your prayers and support. May God bless each one of you in your different places of ministry. Signed, Archie and Ruth Perez. So let's pray for them at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our ability to be able to just be just a small part, Lord, perhaps in the giving and the offering. But Lord, help us to be big in our prayers to back that up. Lord, we thank you for this couple who are willing to make a stand on the mission field. And they have asked that we would be praying for them to make a stronger stand with ecclesiastical separation, their stand on the Bible and on standards. And Father, we just ask that you would really help them and encourage them as they do so. We also pray, Lord, for their children's outreach that's going on at this time, and as they want to get into the homes and reach the parents, we just pray that it will be a great success with your power behind it. We also pray for their family, their personal family, Lord, for strength, for their health, and for the provisions that they need on a regular basis. And then, Father, we also pray for their building as they want to add this educational building to their plans. And we just thank you so much for missionaries who have a vision, who want to build, who want to increase, and they want to train. And so, Father, we just ask that you would bless their efforts in this. And also we pray for those two ladies, Sylvia and Gloria, who are suffering with cancer and have to travel a little distance there and get into the capital city and have this treatment on a regular basis. We just pray that you would meet their needs and then strengthen them during this time. And may your will be seen in their lives. And finally, Lord, for the Bible Institute students, we do pray. And we do ask, Lord, that you would help the Perez's as they train and prepare others who are local, on the ground, who would be able to take the Bible and train others and lead others to the Lord. Father, we just pray that this country in South America would be able to be a great blessing to all those around it. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
All right, I just want to give you another announcement very quickly. We have a harvest party going on October the 30th here at the church during our Master Club's time. Come dressed as something from the days of creation. So if you have children, you remind them of that. Remind your bus kids, your Sunday school kids, that on the 30th of October, and we're also receiving donations for candy out in the hallway, a little box underneath the corner table, if you'd like to donate some candy for that. We'd appreciate that so much. Also, we've just about finalized our calendar for 2015. If you would like something, we're going to try to do a printed calendar this year, so you have things way ahead of time. So if you'd like something on the calendar for your Sunday school class or what have you, and you already know about it, please let us know right away. The last two things we just finalized, we're going to have Pastor Strachan coming in September next year to do kind of an open house Sunday, get people back after summer's over and get them back into church. So Pastor Strachan will be here preaching and singing on that day. And in May 29th and 30th, we have John and Matthew Marshall coming. How many of you remember the Marshall family that sang here back in the 80s and even I think 1990 maybe came as well? Matt and Jonathan are both song leaders, music men in Toledo, Ohio. One is in Hope Baptist Church. I'm not sure the name of the other Baptist church the other one's in. But John is the assistant pastor, music man at Hope Baptist Church in Toledo. And they're going to do a music tune-up, they call it. And so on Friday, there'll be a day for song leaders leading songs in your Sunday school class with enthusiasm and that kind of thing. And then on Saturday all day will be for choir members and special music, to how to communicate the message of song and to sing out and really do a good job for the Lord in our music. So they're going to come. We're going to invite other churches to come to that and try to help and be a help and blessing to other churches as well. So mark your calendars with those things. All right.
Something that's always been a favorite topic of mine, and that is the church. We're going to look at an introduction to the church. You're going to say right now, oh no, not another introduction to the church. I know all about the church. I'm very familiar with it. But it's very important in these times that we live in that we really grasp and cherish and appreciate the church. It's so important. But Revelation, we're going to look at in just a minute here the definition. Just a quick definition, because most of us are already familiar that it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, means to call out. But what I want us to see here is that the church is not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not just a bunch of loosely banded people who just come together for a Bible study. My definition in an overall nutshell is this. It's a church is a group of born again baptized believers in Christ who gather together regularly at a set place and a set time in voluntary fellowship and discipline to do this, to study the Bible, to perform the two ordinances of the church, to evangelize the world, and to fulfill the commandments set forth for Christians as recorded in the Word of God. That's a lot, but that's basically what the church is. It's not to be confused with just being saved. Being saved and being a church member at times can be two different things. And that's why I wanted you to start there with me in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Because the church isn't just some invisible, gobbledygook kind of mystical organization that we're just added to when we get saved. It's a concrete, it's that local presence. And that's so important for us to understand that. Because, you see, the Protestant church has got it wrong. When they came out of the Catholic church, they got it wrong. And they tried to mirror the Catholic church with some kind of globalization. That's not the way it is. The Bible speaks for itself. Look there in verse 4. It says, John to the how many churches? Seven. To the seven churches. How many times do we hear day in and day out that I'm a member of the church? As, and I know, I understand it can be used in the generic use, but we have this teaching, and it's right from the pit of hell, because it's not from Christ. If it's not from Christ, it's got to be from his foe. And that is that the church has a local presence. There's not just one invisible church, because if there is, then verse 4 here is wrong. There can't be seven churches. So we see here, and it's talking, and the ones that follow this after talks about those seven churches. And those seven churches have such a great meaning. One of the meanings is, that most of us traditionally hold to, is that it outlines the church age. It also outlines different types of churches that you can have at any age. It has so much meaning there. But it says here, John to the seven churches. And then he says, which are in Asia. So that means there's more. There's more than seven. These are just the seven that he's writing to in Asia. All right. So it's important for us to understand that. So you can argue and fight and everything you want. Just go to this one verse, and this is right here. Local churches, local area, and you can count them. God was able to count them. So it's a local organization. Now that's a little brief introduction to the church, that we kind of understand what the organization is. It's that group of born again baptized believers. All right. And we're assembling here voluntarily. But what I want us to really look at tonight is, what's the purpose of the church? Because there's a concern that I have right now. And that is that the people are saying that the church is not relevant for today's age that we're living in. There are so many better ways to fulfill God's will, and we don't really need the church. We don't need the church to help society anymore, because we have so many government interventions, you see. We have so many organizations set up and established, and we have so many other volunteer support organizations and organisms that we've set up in this wonderful country of Canada, that we don't really need the church anymore. And I would say they are dead wrong. They need the church very much, because, you see, it's not us, it's Jesus Christ through us. And the world needs Christ. So the church is very relevant. Before we set up any goals or ministries for our church, we must really clarify the purpose. What's the reason for having a church? Why are we even here tonight? And as we look at that, I just want to start off by saying, first of all, there are some purposes that the church should not have, or it's not what it's all about. What the purpose of the church is not is, number one, it is not a welfare organization. All right? We are not the Salvation Army. Does that mean that we can't help other people? No, but that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not to see everybody's clothed and fed, and that we're drilling for wells and there's fresh water. That's not the purpose of the church. The church could do that, but that's not the purpose. Another thing the church is not, it's not a place of worldly amusement. It's not a place to go to play bingo. It's not a place to be watching Hollywood movies. It's not a place for all this worldly stuff that's coming on the inside here. That's not the purpose of the church. And yet, if you go to most churches and you were to look beyond the doors, you would find that that's what they're doing. Thirdly, it's not a political body. You see, we don't try to influence people here externally. The purpose of the church is not to try to get some points and to get some votes and to try to muscle our representatives and try to get people out to vote just to vote for one particular person. Because, you see, we're here for a spiritual purpose. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not doing that. The purpose of the church is to do Jesus Christ's bidding, and it's all spiritual, you see. It's all spiritual. The problem is the church today has gone all physical, and it's just the stuff you can touch, and that's what it's all about. We're not here for a political presence. I'm sorry, that's not the purpose. Does that mean we can't, from time to time, point out the pitfalls of some politicians and things that we should admire in others? Of course we can. But that's not the purpose of the church. And yet you go to some churches and that's what they're all talking about. They're just talking about the politics of the day. You know, after several years in ministry, I firmly believe that the reason churches end up as welfare agencies, amusement parks, and political campaign headquarters is simply because the church members lose sight of God's purpose for His church. We've lost it. Churches all across North America are either closing down or turning to entertainment to keep their people. But either way, they're dying. You understand that, right? Because once everybody gets entertained, they'll realize that Hollywood can do it better than we can. And we'll lose them anyway. We're going to lose either way if we don't go according to God's purpose. God's vision for His church is so magnificent that no earthly substitute could possibly compare to it. We fail to catch God's vision when we take our eyes off of His Word and we go seeking after quick fixes that require little commitment. But oh, my friends, when we understand the power of our God and what He wants to do through this church, when we get a glimpse of what God wants for us to do here at Bethel Baptist Church, you won't want to be a part of any other organization. You won't have time. Your dreams, your visions, your energy will all be spent here doing it God's way, in God's organization. We find the prospects limitless when we get the vision that God has for His church. Never has the Church of Jesus Christ been more relevant to the world around it than it is today. Never has there been a greater need for God's church in Canada and all around the world than there is today. And never has there been more opportunity to witness God's workings through His church than there is today. I mean, this is it. If you have to live in a day and an age, you want to live now, all right? This is when it's all going to take off. I hear a lot of people, they start looking at the back of the book and they see, oh man, there's going to be a great falling away. So what? So what? In the darkness, our light shines brighter. There's more opportunities than there ever has been. There's been more need than there's ever been. You are more relevant, more powerful, more important to this world than ever before. This is it. Don't miss it. That's the one thing I try to encourage people. I'm thinking, man, you don't want to miss this. It's just coming down to the end. This is it. This is the conclusion. This is the climax of what it was all about. And you don't want to miss this. You want to be in on this. So let's look at what the purpose of the church really is. Number one, just look over there at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. I want to show you something that's really important if we're going to get this right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. We had part of this. I used to, for many years, it was up there on the baptistry. The letters used to fall into the baptistry. I know I had to try to stick them back up. But what an important message. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that just basically says, that's my stamp of approval right there. That's the number one purpose of the church. It is to give glory to God. That's it. Number one. It's not the only purpose, but it's the first purpose. It's the one that should really drive us the most. And when it says in Him, there, that word, unto Him, if you go back to verse 1, it says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then you read through that whole chapter, it's all about Jesus Christ. If you were to go back to chapter 1 and you start to read some of the verses there, it was talking about the purpose of the church is to give glory to God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. The number one purpose of the church is to give glory to God. Now this is important. This is very important. Because so many times we come to church and we're seeking our own, aren't we? What can I get from this? What's in it for me? And then we leave disappointed because it was all about us. So often we feel unable to witness for Christ and to minister to people because we skip over this. We just want to get into, let's just get to the work. Let's get busy for God. Let's do this. And yeah, we'll praise God if we got time. And he said, I'm saying to you folks, if we don't do this first, we're not going to have the strength to do the rest. Because there's something that rejuvenates people. There's something that breathes into you a new life when you get that we're to give God the glory in the church. And that's why, choir member, when you're singing up there, I want to hear you sing. All right? I want to hear you sing. And church member, when you're out there and you're sitting here in the pews, I want to hear you sing. And you know, Mike McDonald, when I'm singing up there and I'm looking around, I need to kind of give myself a shake because I need to sing. We're all failing in this. Myself in the lead. There's something I learned a few weeks ago, and I just can't get it out of my head, and that is I've been missing this all along. I used to use the music part of it was just kind of a filler, you know? It just, let's get this over with so I can get up and preach, or somebody else can get up and preach and teach the Word of God. I missed it. I was supposed to be giving God the glory with my singing and paying attention and listening to the words. And that's, by the way, that's why it's so important to get some of this contemporary junk out of the way where this hum and hum and hum over again, the last three or four words over and over again. Those songs should have some meaning to it. They should also have some life. I don't like dead music either. But they should have some punch behind the words. And a message that you can sing and you can give glory to God. But we've been making it all about us. And we lost it. And we missed it. We need God. And I know you like it when you get praised. I like it when I get praised. I think God likes it when He gets praised. But who deserves it the most? Him. So he says right there, and there's other passages too, especially in Ephesians, give God the glory. Because here's what happens. You'll end up shortchanging yourself if you come with all these expectations of me. Because you'll say, you know, it's too cold in here. It's too hot in here. It's too bright in here. It's too dim in here. It's too loud, too quick, too silent, too this, too that. And then we leave grumbling. How many people have left grumbling because they didn't get it? I'm talking Christians. You know, we always say at the end, oh, maybe that unsaved person will get it. Maybe us Christians should get it once in a while. And we should leave here rejoicing for what God has given us. I like it from time to time when I get to travel around in some churches because, boy, has God blessed us. We've got so much. And what really bothers me is when I go to a church that has hardly anything and the people are praising God. I come here to Bethel Baptist Church and we're moping around. And you know we are. We're griping because it's all about me. I think, folks, it's time for us to make it all about Him. So bring God the glory, not us. We've got to be careful because if we lose sight of that, we either end up into liberalism or we end up into formalism, and watch both of those, they're deadly. Formalism, it's especially, it's just clothed in righteousness, self-righteousness. It's not the righteousness of God, and it lacks the power and punch of God. We need to have the Holy Spirit come down upon us and move us. But that will not happen if we're not going to give God the glory first, if it's all about us. Number two, that's the first one. To bring glory to God. Number two, the second purpose of the church is to develop its members spiritually. You see, it does enter into you as well. It is about you a little bit. But you got to give God first. Secondly, it's to develop members spiritually. You got your Bibles there. Over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Okay, we got Paul here, and he's addressing the Ephesian pastors. And he says, you're overseers, all right? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He is saying right here, God is giving us in the church leadership for our protection. That's why a Bible study is not good enough. I don't have a problem with people getting together for Bible studies, but it's not a substitute for the church. Because there's no protection, there's no leadership. And that's exactly who he's addressing here. He's addressing pastors. Paul is saying to the pastors, he says, you watch them. You feed that flock that God's given. You protect them. You watch, because there'll be people coming in with all these strange ideas. And let me tell you something, they're coming out with stranger ideas all the time. And we have to be able to weed through it all. So the church is so important for our protection. It gives us leadership that protects us. Also over Acts chapter 11, just slide over there, verse 22. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, notice this, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. We find here not only does God give us leadership for protection, but he also gives us leadership for coaching. That's why it's important also to be a part of the church, to be actively engaged and in the services and stuff. It's good for you. God is going to give you protection, and he's also going to give you coaching. And we see here in the story here, Barnabas, he exhorted the church. And that means he urged them, okay? He urged them to cleave unto the Lord. We need coaches. Anybody here ever try to lose weight? No, don't put your hand up. Been there. You know what I really need sometimes? A coach. Because you leave it up to me, I'm going to cheat, okay? I'm going for the cupboard. I can't watch the commercials on TV. And there's somebody left a donut in the kitchen today. I ate it, okay? If you want to know where it went, it was just sitting there, and I went back for my second cup of coffee. It was still, I ate it, all right? I'm weak. I need a coach. And so do you. Not physically. Well, yeah, physically too, but spiritually. That's what the church is all about. That's why God gave us a pastor. Pray for him. Because not only is he protecting us, but he has to give us that, you know, every once in a while, that, and we don't like it. Where he says, drop it, give me 20, spiritually speaking, but we need it. Okay, it's to give God the glory. It's to develop its members spiritually. You can't substitute it with other organizations. Number three, moving right along. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I'm running out of breath. Man, I must be losing a lot of weight up here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now here's the important part here. Which is, okay, this is the purpose of the church. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And the way I was explained is that you need a pillar, and you need to place that pillar on the ground. And you need that because you need something to support the truth. And here it is right here in your Bible. All right, that's what the church is. It's holding up the Bible. It's lifting up the Bible. All right? It's very important that we get that. That means that we are to preserve and to promote God's Word here in the church. You know, the texts from which we got the King James Bible were preserved in hundreds of local churches. That's where it was found. And since it's been converted over into English in the King James Version, it's been preserved in the local church. The truth, the Word of God is preserved in the local church. I sometimes wonder, maybe you got an answer for this, but how many denominations are King James only? Do you know of any? Maybe there are some. I don't know of any denominations that are King James only. But I know many churches that are King James only. I know there are many churches that will only go back into the Greek, into the Textus Receptus. I know local churches get it right, you see, because that's where God's blessing is upon it. So our purpose then is to see that the Bible is preached to this generation and preserved for the next generation. You guys, you young guys, you're going to need this. You're going to need the Bible. We got to leave you the Bible. If we ever get weak on that, and we start using New King James, or New this, or New that, then shame on us, because we just wiped out the next generation for our church. We need people who've got the right Word of God to start from. It's so important. We got organizations. We got the Gideon Society and bookstores, and praise God for Christian bookstores and the Gideon Society. But I tell you, they won't preserve the Bible for you, because it was given to the church to do that. We just looked at the verse that said that. It's the pillar and ground. It's the church. It's the pillar and ground of the church, or of the Bible, of the truth, of the Word of God. It's not a bookstore. It's not a society. They can help. They can try. But they can't redo or reproduce what the church is supposed to do. That's why I say praise God for Pastor Stone bearing precious seed, trying to get out John and Romans and other sets of the Bible that are King James only. Because that organization is directly under a local church. And it's supported by other local churches. That's why it's important when the pastor said, please give, pray and let God work on your heart what you could give toward this project to get John and Romans out to people in Ontario, because nobody else is going to do it. It's going to be local churches that do it. And if I find it here, Jerry Claver gave me this tonight. And it was just kind of timely. Article he just got in an email today, and it says here, American Family Association has received word that the U.S. Navy has instructed housekeepers to remove Gideon Place Bibles from every hotel room on its military bases after it received a letter from the atheist group Freedom From Religion Foundation. And then the letter goes on, you know. I'm not surprised, but it's like, oh, they received a letter from atheists, so we must throw the Bible out. How silly! How short-sighted! The Americans have always prided themselves that their nation was founded, and their founding fathers were believers in God, and they had the Word of God. And what do? They go into the military, and they throw out the Word of God. Well, good luck. Good luck defending the United States borders. These people are foolish. They're walking in blindness. They don't know what they're doing. You start throwing the Bible out, you've got nothing to stand on. What are they going to fight for? The letter went on and talked about all this stuff, and I'm so sick and tired of it. Because, you see, the atheists and all their organizations, that was just one organization. There are many. They're being military now themselves. And they're forcing people and scaring people to get rid of the Word of God. Get rid of the Bible. Get rid of the Bible. Oh, the Quran can stay. Oh no, the Muslims, they're not all bad. Hello, have you read the Quran? Burn it. They should have a public burning. You know what? They're living in la-la land because they're not living according to what's reality. The reality is this. You read this book, you get saved, your life gets changed around. You stop beating your kids. You stop drinking and blowing all the money. You put groceries back in the home. You see whole communities restored. Why would they throw it out? What's wrong with them? And then they defend the Muslims. And they defend the Quran. It's just another way. Well, this is a way too, isn't it? It's the only way. And they're throwing it out. I'm getting a little tired of reading these things. But let me tell you something. The church, and only the church, can keep this book going. So we need to keep the Word of God front and center in everything we do. Don't ever get tired of people saying, we're King James only, we're this, that. We need it! We hear it all the time, and it just seems not to make any sense anymore, or it's too much. But let me tell you something, the rest of the world aren't getting any of this. So be thankful that somebody's preaching it to you and teaching it to you and telling you over and over again. And that leads us to the fourth and the final purpose, real purpose for the church. Number one, to bring glory to God. Number two, to develop its members spiritually. Number three, to be God's pillar and foundation of the truth. And number four, to evangelize the world. And this is the ultimate purpose of the church. Because the other three can be done in heaven, but this one can't be. We can give God the glory in heaven. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be spiritually complete. We won't have to mature. We'll be like Christ. And when we're in heaven, we'll have the Word of God just seared in our minds and on our hearts at all times. But the one thing we can't do in heaven is evangelize. It's too late then. So all those other three are all heading to this one thing. And that is evangelizing. Now remember, you'll say, well, listen, I can't knock on doors. I can't do this. But why don't we just go step by step? Why don't you learn to praise God first? First time, so many times I see people get saved. They say, okay, now the first thing you got to do is you got to learn the Romans road. You got to lead others to the Lord. Well, that's great if you could do that. But how about this? The first thing you do is learn how to praise God. Really get to know God. Really get to enjoy being a Christian. And really being thankful for what He called you out of and called you into. And really get that into you first. And then become a member of the church. And then start to learn and start to grow and be fed by the leaders of the church. And then start to cherish and understand and tear through that Bible and get to know it. It's so important. And then go out and evangelize the world. It's no small feat, folks. It's no small feat. The world. We're not to evangelize just Simcoe, Norfolk County. We're to evangelize the world. God has never said you just sit in your little community. He says, no, no, no. The church is going to reach the world. Every individual church, reach the world. I was so thankful. I went over to Pastor Roberts' church, and I know we support them. We give them a bit every month. But you know what? They got their people in missions given. And so what we're giving them, they're giving out even more. Do you understand how that's working? It just kind of clued into me. I started looking at the missions people that they were supporting. And of course, they're a smaller church. They can't support as many as we do. But we give them X amount of dollars every month. They're giving out, because they're giving on top of that, they're giving out even more to others. It's an amazing thing. You can't outgive God. You can't. This is His plan. We can reach the world for Christ. I'm so sick and tired for people telling us what we can't do. You can't do it today. You want to believe we can do it today. The church's ultimate purpose is to evangelize. That's why we need to pray for our Bible college students. I mean all students. I don't want to leave anyone out. But those who have said, you know what? I feel God has called me to ministry. I don't care how old they are. If God is calling somebody to ministry, we need to start praying for them. Because we need more laborers. We can't stop praying for them, because Satan's going to be on their back to try to discourage them. He's going to try to take money out of their pockets so that they can't go forward and finish paying their bills and they'll be having to leave colleges. We can't allow that to happen. We have to pray and ask God to help in all those matters. That's why we need to get behind and start praying for the missions trip to St. Lucia right now. I haven't mentioned a lot about it just to the people going, but let me tell you something, folks. I've got a list from the Bartletts in St. Lucia, some needs they have. And I'm going to share this with the Sunday school teachers and, of course, with the pastor. And that I'd like us to get behind it. We need to reach the world. So if you get a chance to take a missions trip, no matter where it is, go on it. Missionary giving. We need to give to missionaries. We need to pray for missionaries. And we also need to reach our own backyard. And I'm so glad the pastor's got that booth set up again. Don't take it for granted. Don't say, well, it's just a boot. No, no, no. This is an opportunity for you to come in contact with a lot of people coming by and hopefully get some of this good stuff out there, some of the tracks and some of the amazing things that we have. Get them into their hands. What they do with it is up to them, but we need at least give them the truth, because they're not going to get it from anywhere else. And in closing, last week, I went back by the old neighborhood when I was up in Sault Ste. Marie. My wife and I, well, and most of our children, lived there 7 years. Paul and Melanie were born in Sault Ste. Marie, and we lived right across from a school. It's called Etienne Brulé. And the public school is still there today. I hear they're going to close it down and amalgamate like we do around here. But there was a big sign, and I didn't get it. We took a picture of it because we were just taking pictures of the old neighborhood. But there was a big sign, and it said this, and it just kind of got me thinking. It said, "Welcome to Etienne Brulé, where we let our hearts and minds show us the way." Do you really want your heart and mind to show you the way? You see, that is an atheistic evolutionary view. In other words, we're just a bunch of big accidents happened, and so we're just going to go by gut feeling. We're just going to let our minds and our hearts show us the way. What if you're a kleptomaniac? What if you're a serial murderer? What if you're a child molester? You're just going to let your mind lead the way? We're in big trouble. Do you see where we're going with this? And the truth be known, we are all sinners. We can't afford to let our minds and our hearts lead the way. That's what we're pushing on this world today. I'm just saying to you this, folks. Never before has the church ever been so relevant. We've got the Bible. We've got lots of Bibles, by the way. And they're all sitting on shelves. And we've got tracts that are sitting on shelves. They're no good on shelves. All right, they don't even look pretty after a while on shelves. They just get dusty. We need to get them out there because people are getting saved. Lives are being changed. And you're a classic example of it. The purpose of the church, it is very, very relevant today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house. Help us, Lord, to be excited of the prospects of what you can do with Bethel Baptist Church. These are the glory days. These are the days of darkness upon this world where you have chosen us, Lord. And we are so thankful and humbled by this. You have chosen us to make the stand on your behalf in this darkest hour of world history. Just before the rapture, just before the coming of that wicked one, the Antichrist, you have called upon us and other churches like us to make a stand for you. Father, help us not to neglect such an important task. And help us to put you first in everything we do and give you the glory. And we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. I'll tell you something. There's nothing better than the church. I ain't got time to run for politics. I ain't got time to do any of that other stuff. When God calls you into something, there's something that's always there. And you realize, if I don't do it through the church, I'm missing out on the best. And you are all invited. That's the amazing thing. God invites everyone to his house. Just answer the call. You got your prayer bulletins out there. And we'll look through them. I wasn't here last week, so I don't have some of the updates here. Cindy's mentioned some of these to me. Garnett Wilson in the hospital. I heard that he was in and out of the hospital and possibly back in the hospital again. Is he in the hospital right now? So the Wilsons need our prayers for that. I've asked Jim if his dad was saved, and he said, well, he's prayed a prayer, but he's not 100% sure. So let's just pray. I pray that he is saved. Let's pray that we can really... Yes? Amen. That's what that's so important to know from a clear decision that was made. Okay, so continue to pray for Garnett Wilson. Dorcas Foreman is out of the hospital. I heard she's been in and out. Where's the Foreman family? How's she doing? She's doing better. Okay, she's still got the infection. Okay, so that's right under other health, Dorcas Foreman. Judy Judge got the cast off her knee, I see on Facebook. Facebook is good for some things. And so continue to pray for her healing and the rest of her family, because I don't know, it seems like they're just breaking all the time. And so keep praying for them. Pray for Rob especially, I think it's all on him. Tracy Corbett is Lois. How's she doing? Did she have her tests done?
No, but so we'll keep praying for her. But the tests so far are looking good. Okay. So she possibly has MS, which is a serious matter. And let's pray that they can make the right diagnosis. Over on the other side, you'll see, and I highlighted it here, please pray for the Ebola spread in Africa, because it's coming here. And they're now screening everybody for temperatures and everything else. I've got a wife and a daughter that's going to, Lord willing, Australia in January. This little chance to see her mom again. And it seems like every time they get on a plane to go there, something happens. Last time was 9/11. They got back 2 days before 9/11 occurred. And now we have an Ebola spread. But there's a lot of people affected by this. Also, if you would add this, in that we've been praying for him, Jerry McGlashan. He got saved. We announced that. That was great. And then he passed away. He was just saved for like a couple of weeks, and then he passed away. But praise God, he had a clear-cut testimony. Pray for his wife, Trish, T-R-I-S-H, Trish, as she grieves the loss of her husband, Jerry. All right, are there anything else you want to add before? I know I'm probably keeping you late here tonight. Anything pressing that we should add? Yes, Pastor. All right.
And then just to praise, there are 23 abortion clinics in Texas, and 14 of them had to close in the day because of a new pro-life law.
Really? So they actually reversed it. Amen. Amen. There was a pro-life rally going up in Sault Ste. Marie when we were there. I guess maybe they do it all across Canada. And people, mostly churches, but any individual could be a part of it. They all hold it. It was just a silent protest where they were holding signs. But the whole street, it was impressive how many people came out. They didn't yell, didn't shout. They just held up pro-life signs. And these are things that we need to pray for. And so important. Okay, let's find some folks to pray with. Yes, Doug. Okay. For the horns, they're on the list here, aren't they?
Yeah.
We're
under cancer.
Under cancer. Okay. All right. Pray for the horns there, under cancer. Just a matter of days. All right. So it's an urgent prayer. All right. We'll take your prayers to the Lord.